Yeah. You faked me out. I thought you guys were done. I could have had another 15 seconds with my wife over here. You're just jealous because Sandra never gets to sit up here with you. I see it. I see how it goes. See? Yeah. Man, I've been in ministry a long time. I think this is the first time. Wow. I need to work on myself on this. This is... Oy. So the story is told about Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he was president. One of the things that he really complained about was having to endure the long reception lines. You know, people coming through the line, shaking your hand. And his point was the fact that nobody's really listening. And so he decided to do an experiment, and he decided one day, as people were coming through the line, that he would say, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Just to see what people would say. And so he's shaking their hands, and he would say, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And they would say, "God bless you." They would say, "Keep up the good work." They would say, "Thank you so much." They clearly weren't hearing what he had to say. They were just giving a stock reply until he got to the end of the line, the ambassador from Bolivia. Coming through the line, he shakes the hand, he says, "Again, I murdered my grandmother this morning." And without missing a beat, the ambassador leaned over and said, "I'm sure she had it coming." It's hard sometimes to listen. You just think you know how it's going to go, and it's hard to really be able to listen. The gospel reading that Diana was blessed with, all right, it's a long reading. It can be hard to listen. There's so many nuances and phases that are going on in that story. And depending upon where we are in our own spirituality, that depends on the flavor we come away with when we hear this story. But it's important for us to be able to truly hear the story. It's a long reading because it is the longest single conversation Jesus has with anybody in the Gospels. That's recorded for us in the Gospels. His conversation with this woman, whose name is never told to us, we don't know her name, is the longest conversation. He talks with her more than he talks with his mother. See, Mom? See? He talks with her longer than anybody in his family, any of his followers, any of his disciples. He talks with her. They have a long, interesting conversation, and she's not even trying to meet Jesus. Jesus is coming into her town. That's not why she's at the well. "Oh, I want to meet Jesus. I've heard about you." She doesn't want to come and meet Jesus. She doesn't even know who Jesus is. Doesn't recognize him and has doubts about him even after he introduces himself. She's not convinced that it's really Jesus when they first come together. She doesn't know any of these things, and yet this becomes the longest conversation. The longest conversation we have in the Bible of Jesus speaking with anyone is with this woman. And this poor woman, whose name not mentioned, and you have heard people, preachers, oh God, preachers, what they do to this poor woman. How many of you already have a picture of her? Don't you have a picture of this woman already? You think about it, all right? What? She's got on deep red lipstick, don't she? Uh-huh. Got a little swank in her walk, you know. You know how she is, all right? Going out to the well to pick up somebody else, you know. You know, has that little sultry voice, that come hither type of look, you know, in her eye. You know, that. Seriously! Why is she at the well at 12? You've heard it. She's an outcast. All the other women come in the morning. She's not allowed to because she's an outcast. She's an outcast. That's what she, how do you know that? That's not in the Bible. Maybe she spilled the bucket and had to come back and get it. Maybe her husband won't fix it. Well, she didn't even have that husband, does she? And that's the other thing. This is why we get that. Oh, she's some kind of loose woman with all these different men. In those days, women could not divorce their husband. Wasn't her choice. And the other thing is, it never says she's divorced. It could be that all those husbands died. We don't know. Instead of thinking of scandal, it could be nothing but pain. Her life could have been tragic. Tragic to the point now where the person she's with won't marry her. Out of fear that maybe he'll die. I don't know. But you see how it is when you're trying to hear. It's important when we're reading the Gospels, when we're reading the Bible, that we truly hear what the Bible has to say. And the Bible doesn't tell us the woman's name, doesn't tell us the circumstances as to why she's been through five husbands, doesn't say anything about her being loose, doesn't say anything about her being an outcast. We interpret it, we speculate, we think that those are all things that are happening. We don't know. We could be right in our speculation. We don't know. We don't know. All we know for certain is that Jesus has met her at this well. He's thirsty and has no bucket. She has a bucket. And so he begins this conversation. He breaks every boundary there is. He breaks every barrier there is. He breaks every protocol there is. He refuses to let a wall come up between him and one of God's children. He will not let that happen. He will not do that. And he initiates this conversation. Well, you say, okay, well, he's Jesus. I mean, Jesus is Jesus. He can do pretty much whatever he wants, right? No one's going to say, hey, you're Jesus. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. If he wants to break down a barrier, he can break down a barrier. But the woman does too. The woman responds and engages. You know how you try not to make eye contact with certain people because you don't want to have conversation with them? You know, so even if they try to initiate something, you don't look, you don't engage. Oh, I'm not looking. I'm just walking past. I don't see you. Don't see. He talks to her, but she responds. She responds. He's breaking down a wall. She's building a bridge with the pieces of the wall he's breaking down. He engages. She engages. They become the most unlikely team in the Bible. A team that shares love and grace with other people. They're not supposed to be talking. If you've been to Bible study, you already know this. Men are not supposed to have a conversation with women. Not even your wife. If it's broad daylight and you're out in public, you ain't even supposed to be talking to your... Nothing. Nothing. He's Jewish. She's a Samaritan. I can't come up with a strong enough parallel for us here in America what that means, but it means a lot. It means a lot. They have nothing to do with each other. He's a stranger. She's a resident. They shouldn't even be talking to each other. And here they have the longest conversation we have recorded in the Bible. Engaging in talks, not just about her life, but about God and about true worship and about living water. All of these things that he's talking to her about. And then this woman engaging in this conversation with him. And what does she say when she goes into town? They have talked about living water. They have talked about the true nature of worship, worship in spirit and truth. He has revealed himself as the Messiah. He has told her in the Gospel of John, the first time he has come right out and said, I am he. All of those things. She goes flying into town, and what does she say? Does she say, hey, come and meet the Messiah? Come and meet the Son of God? Come and meet the Savior? No, she says, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. It's like inviting you to come to a carnival, to a fortune teller. And the townspeople are saying, well, we all know what you've done. Ain't no secret. It could have been like that. We don't know. We don't know. That's her witness. They've had this deep theological discussion, and yet, this woman, not qualified, not named, not a disciple, brings an entire town. It works. They all come to meet Jesus because of the woman's testimony, her witness, her willing to share her experience with other people. That's what we do as disciples. It wasn't the disciples that brought the people to Jesus. It was this woman. This woman, she's the one that does it. Jesus is breaking down boundaries. She's responding, telling us we all have an opportunity to do something about it. We all have an opportunity. What the story reveals to us most is that whoever we are, whatever's been going on in our life, whatever people think we have done or not done, that we are accepted and loved by God for who we are, as we are. Jesus is the one who knows us and loves us as we are by showing us who he is, showing us that he's willing to cross that boundary, make a bridge, come and receive us, come and be a part of us, come and invite us into a relationship with him. And the people come and they respond. Because of her, they are able to hear Jesus for themselves. Now, I was sharing this in the Bible study. In the Gospel of John, in the very beginning of the Gospel of John, it begins with a prologue. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and nothing was made except for through." And the Greek word that is used there is logos. Logos. It's a very powerful, special word, especially as the gospel writer John uses it. It means, you can imagine, in the beginning was the logos, and nothing was made without the logos. Everything was done through the logos. At the end of our story here today, as the woman has given her testimony, as she has invited others to come and meet with Jesus, as he has stayed with them for 2 days to share love, to share grace, the townspeople come to her and say, "It's no longer because of your words that we believe." But the word they use is not logos. The word they use is laleia. Laleia. You can almost translate that yourself. It's no longer because of your la 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 la. It means idle chatter. It's no longer. I think that that's important. There are times in our lives when God uses us as an instrument of grace that brings grace and love to other people. And people respond unkindly. People respond with disrespect. People, in this story, the longest conversation with a woman who is never, ever named, who brings a town to salvation, who continue to disrespect her. There are times, people, as disciples, when we're going to go out into the world with nothing but a good intention to share the good news of the gospel, to share the love of God, to share the grace of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes we will not always be treated with respect. Jesus will not change that for you. What Jesus does is he shares that with you. Jesus knows exactly what it feels like to share the love of God with people who will not respect you. That's why in Christianity our symbol is a cross. A reminder to us that the one who came to save us was crucified. But in his message, in his life, we receive salvation. We receive grace. Let us always be mindful of the love God shares with us. We see the cross. Not everybody will respond kindly, but we're still called to share the message that Jesus has broken down every barrier. And every barrier isn't just social taboos. Every barrier also means every sin, every fault, every weakness. The cross reminds us that Jesus refuses to let anything ever separate us from the love of God. Amen.